More about Jesus. More about Jesus. You know, I found out something in my life. The more time that I've spent with Jesus, the better my life is. And that's in each and every day. Each and every day, the more time that we spend with Jesus, the better our life. Well, the first night we met, we talked about how much God loves us. The thought that God loves me individually is something to think on. That God needs me. You know, we've been told our whole life how much we need God. But we looked at the fact that God needs us. And we realized this is not that hard to believe because we know how much we need our family, don't we? We need our family. We need our church family. Amen? We do need our church family to love and care for us and to pray for us and to console us. But we need our children too. We need them. There's a personal, intimate relationship that we all have with our family that just won't be right without them. That's the way God is. He needs us. There's an empty spot in God's heart that can only be filled by you. God created you for eternity. Think about that. You're special to God. There's nobody like you on this earth. Nobody has your fingerprints. Nobody has your DNA. Nobody is just like you. And nobody will be able to fill that spot in God's heart that He had planned when He created you. Now that's a wonderful thought there, that we were created for eternity because God wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. And then last night we looked at the fact, we talked about how much God loves us the first night. The last night we looked at the fact about us loving God. And we were real honest in the fact that we can't make ourselves love someone. As hard as we try, we just can't do it. It's not something you can manufacture on your own. It's not something you can muster up or make yourself do. The only way that we can fall in love with God is when we realize how much He loves us. And so we found by beholding Jesus Christ up on the cross of Calvary, beholding Him as He went through the Garden of Gethsemane, beholding Him as He went through the trials and the persecutions that He had to go through, beholding Him as He just innocently laid His hands out and took those big spikes in His hands for me and for you and in His feet, beholding Him as He was hung up there on that cross until He died. If something happens in our life, something happens deep down inside of us when we behold Jesus Christ up there dying on the cross for each one of us. And so I'm going to turn my phone off too. You know, I didn't even think about it. It could have been mine doing that. You know, I want to tell y'all a little story. I share a little story about phones here quickly. I was doing a funeral one time in Northwest Oklahoma. And I was setting up here on a wooden bench like this right here. And I was real smart when I walked in. I put my phone on vibrate just like I'm supposed to and everything. And I sat down. Pastor Ben knows where I'm going with this. I sat down on that wooden bench, and it didn't have those cushions up there. It was just a hard wooden bench. And I sat down, and I had my phone right here, and all of a sudden my phone started ringing. And it started buzzing. It went zzz, zzz. And the acoustics in a church are just wonderful. You know it? I mean, it's a pretty good sized church, but you could hear that thing buzzing everywhere. And everybody started looking around. You know? And so you know what I did, don't you? I started looking around with them. The whole time I'm down here pinching my phone, trying to grab it to get it to cut off. And so it's one of those persistent people that just kept calling too, by the way. And so anyway, that happened. That happens. So anyway, we've had a lot of fun learning about Jesus and how much He loves us and how much He cares about us and everything. And so tonight what I want to look at is how do we become a Christian? How do we become a Christian? You know, the story is this little boy walks up to an old preacher one day, and he looks at the preacher and he says, He asked the question, how do I become a Christian? How do I do that? And the old preacher said, son, you got to give your heart to Jesus. You got to give your heart to Him. And I could just picture the wheels spinning in the little boy's heart, in his mind, as he's thinking how he's going to give his heart to Jesus. And then the old preacher says, "Well, you got to fall on the rock. You got to fall on the rock." And could you picture the little boy now? Could you picture how confusing this would be here as he thinks about it? And then the preacher said, "Well, you got to surrender all to Him." And so. The boy was just like in total confusion here, you know, after a little while, because he couldn't understand anything that this pastor was trying to tell him to do here. And then he says, "Well, son, all you've got to do is believe." And, you know, I remember there was a time in my life not that long ago, you go back 12 or 13 years ago, I wanted to believe in God. I did. I wanted to believe in God. I'd heard all about God and everything like that. I wanted to believe in God, but seemed like the more I tried to believe in Him, the more doubts just come up in my mind. I couldn't control them. I couldn't make myself not doubt. It would just fly up in my mind. The more I would try to believe in Jesus or believe in God. And so it was. It reminds me of this little story. This traveling salesman went into town one time. And he come into town, and he was pretty sharp guy. What he did is he claimed to be able to manufacture gold. He claimed to be able to make gold. And so he came into town one day, and he set up his little stand, and on the sign there it says, I will sell you the recipe and the instructions for making gold, and I'm going to do it at such and such time. So you could imagine all the community and all the town folks started gathering around. Well, they didn't know that, but at a certain time, he had already had somebody that was going to give a big distraction over here on the other side of town with a big noise which will make everybody look. So he gets everybody all circled up, and he starts putting the ingredients in to make the gold, and he starts stirring it, and everybody's looking on. And about that time, here's the big boom over here on the other side of town. And for a second, everybody looks, and he drops a gold nugget into his little pot. Okay, and so after he keeps stirring, and sure enough, guess what he pulls out of there? He pulls out of there that gold nugget. And so everybody's going, "Oh my, yeah, I want to buy that." No, he's collecting money. Now he says, "Now look, I got something very important to tell you." He says, "Now this will work every single time." He says, "But whatever you do, don't think about the red-faced monkey when you are stirring this pot, because if you do, it won't work." Well, guess what happens? Every time somebody would be stirring that pot, who are they going to be thinking about? The red-faced monkey. Friends, I want to tell you something. You can't make yourself believe. And you just like you can't make gold, right? Only God can do that. Only God can do either one of them. And the Bible says so in Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this to you in verse 8. You can't make yourself believe. It's a gift from God. He gives it to you as you spend time with Him. Listen to this scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God." It's a gift from God. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Friends, I want you to know, it's only by spending time with Jesus. It is a gift from God. The faith is something that God gives you as you spend time with Him. It's not anything that you can manufacture on your own. In fact, the Bible says the only way to get faith, for God to give you that faith, Romans 10:17. Don't ever forget this scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God as you spend time with Jesus. The Word of God, I love John chapter 1, verse 14, because it explains all this. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." As we are hanging out with Jesus in the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we hang out with Jesus, He increases that faith. He imparts faith to us. That's the only way that you can get rock solid, genuine faith, friends. You see, now, I had it all wrong. Because I thought to be a Christian, I thought to be a Christian that I had to do something. I thought that I need to straighten up and become a Christian. Okay? Now that's what I thought for years. I thought that's the way that I was going to be a Christian, is that I had to straighten up and become a Christian. And for years, that was what I thought. I was going to straighten up one day. Really, Becky, I was going to straighten up and be a good guy one day. It was something that I always, it's kind of like the carrot and the horse thing. It was always one day down the road. I was always going to straighten up tomorrow. Friends, and I want you to know, I would never have been good enough. You could have given me 1,000,000 years, and I would never have been good enough, I thought, to walk in that door right there. But I learned something. That right there is the deception from Satan. We can't straighten ourselves up. The Bible says, can a Ethiopian change his skin color or a leopard change his spot? Neither can he that's accustomed to an evil do good. You've got to come to Jesus just the way you are. Just the way you are. You've got to come to Jesus. You know, I'll never forget the time that when I first began studying the Bible, a guy gave me a little book called Steps of Christ. That little book helped change my life because it pointed, you know, the Bible was such a big book to me. It was such a big book. And I remember it in this little bitty book, it pointed me to scriptures in the Bible that helped me find Jesus. Amen. And little simple things that I needed to know, like that right there. I thought that I had to be good enough. I thought that I had to be a Christian. I had to start acting better. Or I thought that I had to start doing this and this and stop doing that and that to be a Christian. That's not what the Bible says at all. We can't straighten our life up, friends. We got to come to Jesus just the way we are. Now, I remember when Cindy and I first met. Now, look at this smile right here. She has got a beautiful smile. And I told you last night that I fell in love with her at first sight. At first sight, I fell in love with her. And I had every reason in the world to straighten up. Now, I've shared bits and pieces of this, but when Cindy met, I was on a train wreck going in the wrong direction. And my life was in a fast lane. And I was a slave to things like cocaine. And I was a slave to things like crystal meth. And I was a slave to things like alcohol. And I was a slave to things like lust. And I was a slave to things like tobacco. And I had a foul mouth. And I had evil thoughts that run continuously in my mind. But I want you to know, when I met her, a little spark of hope kind of sparked up in my heart. And I said, I want to do better. I've got every reason now to straighten up and be a good guy. You know, not live the way that I was living anymore. And I want you to know, I did really good. I tried real good. And I think I was probably good for a couple months, probably. And then I started slipping back into my old ways, little by little, started hanging out to my buddies until then I was trying to straighten up. You know, she'd get mad at me. I don't know. She'd get mad at me. And I would try to straighten up. And I'd really try. I'd try real hard to straighten up. And then I'd mess up again. You know, and finally I just got to the point. I said, I'm just not cut out to be a Christian. I just can't do it. I mean, I'm just not. Maybe angel wings just won't work for me. I'm just too wild. You know, there's no hope for me. And that's what I really, really believe. Because, see, I thought deep down inside, I really believed that being a Christian was someone that didn't drink, or someone that didn't smoke, or someone that didn't cuss, or someone that didn't have lustful thoughts. And I could go on and name all these other things right here. But I want to tell you something very, 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 very important. Christianity is not about what you do, but rather who you know. And then who you know would change what you do. Do I need to say that again? That Christianity is not about what you do. It's not about what you do, but rather who you know, and then who you know will change what you do. Now, a lot of times we get this all backwards. We think that we've got to straighten people up. You know, we got to teach them how to live right, and we got to tell them when they're wrong and everything like that. But what we're doing when we do that, we've got to be very careful, because we're just condemning them. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us, friends. He came to save us. I remember, I was drinking every single day. I drank alcohol. But when those guys came and introduced me to Jesus, not one time did they tell me, yo, you need to quit doing this, you need to quit doing that. What they did is they just kept showing me Jesus. They kept showing me Jesus. And you know what? Jesus is powerful enough. Jesus is loving enough. The Holy Spirit can convict you. Do you know that? Do you know the Holy Spirit can convict somebody in the heart? We can convince somebody right here, but someone convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. Only the Holy Spirit can do it right here. Oh, we can make them feel real bad of what they're doing and everything like that, but only the Holy Spirit can convict them right here in the heart, friends. And that's something that's very important for us to know as Christians. It really, really is all about Jesus. It really is all about Jesus, getting to know Jesus. You know, I'll never forget the day that Dave drove up in my driveway. Dave, I told you about him, I think, the first night, about him, meeting him at Cindy's Christmas party. I've shared a little bit about that. But he drove up in my driveway, and I shared that he told me that he asked me something that nobody had ever asked me before. He said, Rick, the Lord has laid you on my heart. Would you like to study the Bible with me? Would you like to study the Bible with me? And praise God, I said yes. Now, I wouldn't be here. I would not be here if it were just up to the little church right here. Okay? Because I didn't drive by. I was not one of those that drove by and said, oh, that's a pretty little Adventist church. I think I'll go there on Saturday. I never heard of anybody going to church on Saturday. Never had heard of that in my life. Friends, it took somebody going out to get me. And I believe that's the reason Jesus has commissioned us to go out. He's commissioned us to go out. Go out. See, we got a beautiful message, friends, but we got to get out of this church. We got to get out in the community. We got to tell people about Jesus and how much He loves them, how much He cares about them. Friends, I would not be here today if He had not done that. If He had not done that. And as we open up the Bible, I want you to know I didn't look like a preacher then. Did I, honey? I didn't smell like a preacher. I didn't look one, but I didn't look like one. I didn't smell like one. I didn't talk like one. I didn't act like one. I looked and talked like the world. I smelt like the world. I acted like the world. But you know what they did? They opened up the Word of God and allowed the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. I asked them one time after I'd given my life to God and everything. I asked them, did I not smell like alcohol? Because I would drink right there. I'd drink till they got up there. On Thursday nights, they come every Thursday night, and I would drink my beer. I drank my beer, and I want you to know we'd open up the Word of God, and I said, did I not smell like alcohol? And they said they got back in their vehicle and said, man, if we'd lit a match, we'd all blew up. But they allowed the Holy Spirit to do the convicting, and God did convict me. He convicted me the drugs first, and then it was the lust. The lust, I'll never forget. I had an artillery of all kind of dirty magazines and bad DVDs, X-rated stuff, just terrible. Embarrassed to talk about it, but I'm giving God glory because I want you to know there's people that have problems with that now, especially with their computers and everything like that and these smartphones. It's a real problem. Satan gets in the door there. He got in the door on me and had a hold on me. I want you to know it. But God convicted me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. I burnt every bit of it. Burnt every bit of it. And then the alcohol was next. God freed me one at a time. And all this happened because every study we did. Now, it didn't happen all at once. It was through a process of a year. We studied the Bible for a year. And it was the drugs first, and then the lust, and then the alcohol, and then the tobacco was the last things to go. But all the way through the studies, no matter what we were studying, whether we were studying the prophecy of the 2300 days or whether we were studying the second coming of Jesus, it was all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, Rick. It's all about Jesus. And it really is all about Jesus. When we open up the Word of God, we need to open up the Word of God seeking Jesus Christ. Seeking Jesus because it really is all about Jesus. And I'm here today because someone dared to take God at His Word, give God permission to be thrown out into the harvest, and dare to ask me if I'd like to study the Bible. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. And that's the reason I'm here today. And I want to encourage you right now, pray. Give God permission to use you. Give Him permission to throw you out there in the harvest. And He will do it. He will do it. And so, Now, I want you to know, this book right here is powerful. Amen. I had read a lot of books. I'd mentioned before, I was a certified public accountant. I'd went through college and all the things like that. I had read a lot of books. But I want you to know, no book in the world has any effect on any person's life like the Bible. This book has creative power. And if you would just spend time in this Bible, seeking Jesus Christ, something will happen in your life. It happened in my life. And I love to talk about that because it's all about Jesus. So, now, Christianity is not about what you do, but rather who you know. And then who you know will change what you do. Now, my friend Dave didn't say that first. He didn't say that first. Jesus did. In John chapter 17 and verse 3. Let's read that together. John chapter 17 verse 3. And let's see what Jesus says about this. Now, Jesus here, we know at the time that he starts out here, he says, Father, the hour has come. Father, the hour has come. When Jesus states these words right here, he's getting down to his very closing hours. He knows the hour is the hour of Calvary, the hour that he is going to be betrayed by his own followers, the hour that his own disciples would deny him, even knowing him. I don't even know him. That hour had come. The hour that he would be beaten with the Roman whip. The hour that he would be spit in their face. The hour that he would take the spiked nails in his hands and die on the cross for each one of us. That was the hour. And you know what? Instead of thinking about all the pain and all the suffering that Jesus was about to endure, do you know what was on Jesus' mind at that time? Was he concerned about all the pain and torture he was about to go through at that hour? Who was he? He, thank you, Don. He was concerned about Don. That's right. Don was on his heart. Don was on his heart in that hour, right before he was about to do that. You were on his heart. You were on Jesus' heart. He was thinking about you. He was wanting to save you. And I want you to know he's still thinking about you right now. Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus forever lives to intercede for us. Right now, Jesus is in the heavenly sanctuary wanting to work out your salvation, wanting to use you to get involved in working somebody else's salvation, wanting you to trust Him, wanting you to love Him. Right now, you are on His heart. Praise God. What a God we serve. What a loving God we serve. And you can say amen anytime you want to, because that's a good one. Praise God, because God is good. And in verse 3, though, this is what Jesus says, and this is life eternal. This is life eternal. This is how you make it. This is how you become a Christian. This is how Christian means Christ-like, right? Christian means Christ-like. This is how you have Jesus Christ living in your heart, that they may what? Know you. That they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That they may know you. That they may know you. What a powerful statement that is right there. What a powerful, powerful statement. It's who you know that really counts. It's who you know that really counts. Not to be confused with what you know. Not to be confused with what you know. That's so important. Remember Nicodemus? Not to be confused with what you know. He didn't say life eternal is that you memorize all the different doctrines in the Bible. That's not what he said in John chapter 17, verse 3. He didn't say life eternal is being able to teach and understand all prophecy, did he? He didn't say that either. He made it very clear. He didn't say that life eternal is going to church every Sabbath or every weekend. He didn't say that either, did he? All these are fruits. Yes, sir. All they're fruit. It shows that you've got God working in your life. Amen. But they're not the true test. These are only fruits of salvation working out in you. You know, there's a lot of people that know the doctrine but don't know the doctrine. There's a lot of people that come to church because they were just raised by, you know, they were raised up. I'm pick on Seventh-day Adventists here because I love them. A lot of people have children that are raised in the church and they just come to church because that's the thing to do. A lot of people got spouses to come to church because that's just the thing to do. Some people come to church because they got to come to church. Some people come to church because they're scared if they don't come to church. But friends, God wants you to come to church because He wants to love on you. You know, all week long, think about this, all week long, we've got God right at our disposal. All we got to do is call on Him, He comes to our house. All week long, you know, we get to call on Him, and He's every present help in a time of need. Amen? He's always there. God is so good. We don't have to go through anything by ourselves. God is always right there with us, friends. And so, one day a week, though, one day a week, He invites us to come to His house and just worship Him and praise Him and spend time with Him. Friends, oh, let's come to church to be with Jesus. Let's come to church to love on Him and thank Him for His goodness and His faithfulness, friends. So Jesus didn't say that life eternal was all about that. No, He said that life eternal is knowing God. Knowing God. So, if you want to go to heaven, you have to have friends in high places. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now a lot of people might say, now, preacher, are you sure about this? You're not just preaching cheap grace or anything like that now. Because we got to be careful here. I want you to know, I'm not lowering the bar, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you the only real way you can get over the bar. Our righteousness is dirty rags. That's right. It's all about Jesus. We've got to be abiding in Jesus. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing good in us. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. No, excuse me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And let's read this from the Word of God here. Something important about getting to know God. My title says, I Never Knew You, on the Bible I've got. In verse 21 it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and have done many wonders in your name? And then I would declare to them, this is Jesus in red letters here, I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That was a hard statement. That seems so out of character. You know, that God would even say anything like that. These were not the rebels in town. These were not rebels. These were not atheists. These were believers. These were people that said, you know, that they knew about God. They knew about God for sure because of the things that they were doing right here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25 and let's take a look at that scripture. You know, we all know Matthew chapter 25 is the parables of the wise and foolish virgins. Here and we know that it said the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, and we know that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. You know, these were good. They were definitely all they were Adventists because they were looking for the second coming of Jesus, right? I mean, it's very clear that we could say that, and we know that the story that when the bridegroom had come. That the ones that were not wise didn't have oil. And it says, and so it's verse 11 says, afterward the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them in verse 12, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Friends, it's very important that we get to know God. That we get to know God. That we get to know the God of the Bible. That we get to know Jesus Christ. Amen? That we get to know Him personally. You know, they were confused. They were confused to what it really meant to be a Christian. See, you can come to church for all the wrong reasons. You can do that. You know, and I know there's people come into church that are like piranhas sometimes. We should be full of love. Love for each other. Compassion for each other. You know, this truth that we've got should make us the most loving people on planet Earth. Yeah, if you got Jesus inside of you, you're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love God. That we talked about that last night. It's going to be a fruit. It's not anything you can make yourself do either. It's just going to be a fruit that will come out you. See, if you are connected, if you are grafted into an apple tree, you're going to produce apples. If you are grafted in to Jesus Christ, you're going to produce the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're going to have the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to have that. So according to the Bible, life eternal is all about knowing God. It's all about knowing God. It's not enough to know about God either. It's knowing Him. It's getting to know Him. You've got to know Him. It's not enough to believe about God. You've got to believe in God. Uh-huh. You got to. That's where the catch is right there. You got to. You know, I know about Abraham Lincoln. You know, I've read a lot about Abraham Lincoln. I know a lot, but I don't know Abraham Lincoln personally. It's about knowing, believing in God, believing in God. And so, God doesn't want to be the God at church. He don't want to be the God in the Bible. He wants a personal, intimate relationship with you. See, we've got to get back to the basic here, why we were created. We were created for one reason. We were created in the image of God for a relationship with God. For a relation, a personal. When we open up the Bible, we don't need to open up the Bible just to prove people that we're right and they're wrong. We need to open up the Bible to seek a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. To plug in. I love John chapter 15 where it talks about abiding. To abide, to be connected. Jesus says without Him we can do nothing. We need a connecting, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible talks about right here. And so that's a powerful message. Our God is a living God and He wants a living relationship with each one of us. Now, you think about this anyway. It can't be about how much you know, because Satan knows the whole Bible, right? And he's still the devil. If something has got to happen in your heart. Now we know, we studied Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus, he knew the Bible. He knew the Bible, but still he knew something was missing deep down inside of him. He knew something. He knew all the doctrine. He knew all that, but something was missing deep down inside. It was all right here and not right here. And Jesus says, marvel not, you must be born again. Something's got to happen to take it from here to here. And we learned last night that can only happen when we realize how much God loves us. It's something about beholding Jesus Christ up on the cross, dying for me, that does something in your heart. Something about beholding Him does something, and the Holy Spirit just floods you with the presence of Christ. It's not anything you can do. It's not anything you can manufacture. It's the love of God. And so you might wonder, how in the world is God going to save this wicked world? There's only one way. It's not by us using us to prove to everybody else we're right and they're wrong. The only way that God is going to win this world is by His love. It's His love that's going to win the world. His people recognize how much God loves them. The Bible says, it's the love of God that compels. The Bible says it's the goodness of God. Help me, sister, that leads to repentance. That's what the Bible says. We've got to get this right. We've got to get this right. That's the reason we need to fill our churches up and telling them about the love of God, the love of Jesus. And praise God for that. And so, you know, Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Let's look at this scripture together. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. It says, Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Friends, it's got to be a heart thing. It's got to be a heart thing. It can't be just a head thing. It's got to be a heart thing. Anytime we're searching the Scriptures, we need to be searching for the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. God wants you to get to know Him personally, intimately. He loves you. He wants to have a heart-throbbing relationship with you. Now, so, how do we get to know someone? Here's a good question. How do we get to know someone? Spending time with them. I remember when I first met Cindy. When I first met her, I want you to know I fell in love with her and I wanted to spend more and more time with her. I mean, I told you it was even the middle of tax season, but we stayed on the phone together, we talked together, and we was together every time that you get a chance. And guess what? When you got something going on like that, guess what? I was telling everybody about her. I was telling everybody about her. I was telling all my friends, all my tax clients, they wanted to talk about their income taxes. I wanted to talk about Cindy. I wanted to tell them all about Cindy. And you owe $5,000, but you aren't to see her blue eyes. And so, anyway, but that's the way we'll be too. When we spend time with Jesus, when we're spending time with our Creator, and Jesus is the only one that can fill that empty spot in your heart. He's the only one that can make you real happy. He's the only one that can make you glow. He's the only one that can make you content. And when you're spending time with Jesus, you're going to be telling everybody about Him. You're going to be telling everybody how good He is. He's sweet. God is so good. He's sweet. You know, I say sweeter than a peach. One of those peaches that when you eat, you got to eat it over the sink because it just runs down your mouth and runs down your arm. That's how good God is. I love, David says in Psalms 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see for yourself how good He is." And I want you to know, the more time that I spent with Cindy, the more time I knew she was sweet too. And that's the way we get to know God. That's the way we get to know God. Spending time. And to know God is to love God. To know God is to love Him. Because as you spend time seeking Him, you will realize, you know what? God really loves me. He loves me. He cares about me. He wants to be my best friend. You know? And that's how you fall in love with Him. That's how you fall in love with Him. Now, I want you, let's be real here. Now, we can reason together. We can be real. If I drop by talking about Cindy and our relationship, if I drop by to see Cindy once a week for about 1 hour that week, and I say, "Girl, you are everything to me," and "See you later," and I go on back out in the world, and you think she'd fall for that? Huh? No. If I told her, I said, "Girl, I don't have anybody else in my life. Nobody else in my life, nothing takes your place, but I'm only spending 1 hour, maybe 30 minutes a week with her." Do you think she would fall for that? Now, what about God? How smart is God? You think He's... How smart is God? Huh? God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. If I come by that 1 hour a week, and I say, "God, You're the only God. Now I've got no other gods in my life. There's nothing that takes Your place in my heart. You're all I think about, God." Are you seeing where I'm going with this right here? Are you following me right here? And so, You really are Lord of my life, even though I'm just here 1 hour a week. Sometimes not that. And see, you know, God created you for a reason. There's nobody like you on planet Earth. Nobody. He created you for eternity. Nobody can fill that spot in His heart like you can. That's your spot in His heart. Your spot. He wants to spend time with you. He's head over heels, madly in love with you, and He wants to spend eternity with you. God loves you. Nobody can fill that spot like you can. He loves you and cares about you. Now, when Jesus comes back, He's coming back to get those that He knows. When Jesus comes back, He's coming back to get those that He knows and that know Him. And that know Him. The ones that couldn't wait to spend time with Him. The ones that invited Him daily into their life to walk with them and talk with them. The people that Jesus comes by are not going to be strangers to Him. They're going to know Him. I believe when Jesus comes that we're going to recognize Him and we're going to say, "That's Jesus." The Bible paints a picture of there's two classes of people when Jesus comes. There's going to be one class that goes, "Oh, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus." You're going to somehow, some way, you're going to recognize Jesus. "That's my Lord. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus." And you're going to be so excited. And then there's another class, the Bible says, that they're going to go, "Oh, no, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. And they're going to run. The Bible says they're going to run and hide and ask the rocks to fall on them because they rejected Jesus. See, God has got a plan of salvation. He loves you. He cares about you. And He's did everything He could to save you. He's head over heels madly in love with you. He created you for eternity. But you can reject that. You can reject it. He's not going to force Himself on you. Jesus is coming back to get those that have accepted His love relationship. Those that look forward to spending time with Him. He's going to do that. You know, years ago, an actor come back to his hometown. He was an actor and a poet. And they had a fundraiser in town. And they come back. He come to the town and he put on this large performance to raise money. And he acted out some skits and he said several poems in a beautiful way, and the crowd, it melted. He could just melt the whole crowd's heart. And when he finished, the whole crowd got up and gave him a standing ovation. And he says, I tell you what, he said, I will recite one more poem for you. And he says, what would you like me to recite? And this little sweet lady raised her hand. She said, I would love for you to recite the 23rd Psalms. Do you know that one? And he says, sure, I memorized that one since I was a little kid. I know that. So what he did is he got up and he started reciting the 23rd Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he went all the way through. It's just a wonderful performance. And when he got through, the crowd just jumped up again. They'd never heard it was, you know, said in such a special, more eloquent way. And they got up and they applauded and they applauded and they applauded. And while they were applauding, he happens to notice this little old man on the front seat. And he looked and he saw, I think that was my preacher when I was a little kid. And he remembered how his heart would burn when the little preacher would read from the Word of God. And so he walked down there to where the little old man was at. And he said, please, would you get up and recite the 23rd Psalms to us? And the little preacher said, yes. And so he waddled up up on stage, and he got up on stage, and he started sharing the 23rd Psalms. And as he shared, tears started rolling down people's eyes. And he went all the way through, and he got to the end. And when he got to the end, everybody was speechless. Everybody just sat there. No expression, just tears rolling down their face. The artist walks up to the microphone. He says, when I recited the 23rd Psalms, you got up and applauded. And when my pastor, when he shared the 23rd Psalms, you did nothing. You did nothing. You just sat there. He said, the difference is that I knew the 23rd Psalms, and he knew the shepherd. It's all about knowing God. When you open this Bible up tonight, when you open this Bible up tomorrow, say, Lord, I want to get to know you. Could you imagine? You know how you feel when your children come running up to you and say, Mama, Daddy, Grandma, Granddad, I love you. Could you imagine how it makes God feel when you open up the Bible and say, Lord, I want to get to know you. I want to know you. I want to get to know you, God. Let's sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise God. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, You have given us a glimpse tonight of the love that You have for us. Lord, we have a burning in our heart to get to know You more. To know the height, the depth, and the width of the love that You have for us, Father. I pray for the Holy Spirit to continue that fire that You've started in each one of our hearts tonight, Lord. Pour out Your Spirit upon us during these Sabbath hours, Lord, and fill us with Your presence, Lord. Lord, please. Lord, we want to get to know You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.